Do you know, last week we were wearing the same color as Bev, red, 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 and Bev's now wearing the same color as Lee. I don't know, Bev. You are just tuning into the In Your Element team. Good morning, Ms. Milun. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Zerberini.
How are you, darling?
How are you?
Wearing greens, the two girls in green.
Girls in green.
Girls
hey,
in green.
T.
What happened? We missed out this week, Tavs.
Hey? I think they didn't get the memo this week.
This was the secret memo.
Maybe we didn't get the memo, although you certainly got two disparate memos, the two of you.
Our memo was be individuals on this Friday.
Was it? Oh,
Purim,
no,
was about, Purim was about dressing up. It was about concealing ego or whatever it is, or just showing ego, whatever it is, eating lots of hamantaschen.
I
don't know.
It depends on
how many,
you listen to.
That's true. How many hamantaschen? You didn't eat one because of wheat.
Correct. I did not eat one, but I sniffed a few. Does that count?
Do you never break?
It's
is there no little weak point? Nothing.
Well, it's not worth the break, is it? Because if you get
me,
sick afterwards.
No.
You
for
get
me,
sick afterwards, it's not worth the break. If you don't get sick afterwards, you can break.
Yeah, that's true. Tarbs had hamantaschen for the first time yesterday.
Really? You're
and
almost
what
a
did
Jew
which
now.
Ones did you like, Tarby?
I don't know. Not the cheese one.
The mon.
One.
Poppy
yep,
seed.
I love that one.
Ooh.
I used to love the jam one, the apricot jam ones, or the ones with cheese and jam. I had a few times. Mm.
Well, Sharon Lurie brought
ago,
some
so
for us, and there
I
was. Well, I'm sorry, Bev. I really. And I
and no
commiserations,
one comes
my
to me
darling.
With that spelt made
no.
Hamantaschen.
No, no, no,
who makes
no,
spelt?
No. One makes spelt.
No.
But
on.
yum. Okay, moving on, we have Bev Malone, our self-esteem engineer in the studio, in lots of SMSs, 34519, but we have a very clever lady on the line, Ilana, who has decided to call you directly, and she goes to number one. Ilana, good morning, and thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Hi, Ilana.
Hi.
Do you have a birth date or a few that you want us to work with?
Yes.
Go ahead.
27,
mm-hmm.
11, 63.
Okay. Is that your birthday?
Yes.
Anything specific you want to look at?
Mainly work-related.
In what regard?
Just kind of, I feel a little bit sort of stuck in my life. I should be doing something. I don't really know what it is.
Okay.
So I'm feeling like that.
Okay. All right, good. So let's look at that.
You don't need my surname.
No.
Okay.
Ilana, you're going to listen on air?
I'll listen on air.
Super, Ilana. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
Thanks. Have a good day. Okay.
All right. So we have Ilana, the 27th of November, 1963. And mm-hmm. let's look at this. So mm-hmm. we're looking at somebody here who really should be in a commanding space. So to see her, to hear her come through and not feeling commanding, not feeling certain, not feeling strong in what she's doing and how she's doing it, we obviously realize immediately she's not in her full power,
right.
Which she'd admit to immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm doing what I, but I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that is what I want to address, that I don't know what to do is often what's going to happen to people who have this kind of makeup. The reason for that, Ilan, is that as you know as well as I do, you're quite good at many different things. So when we're good at many different things, it's hard to find the one thing you're meant to do. Ilana likes to nurture. She likes to care. She likes to give. She likes to make things pretty. She often gets distracted and has a shiny object syndrome. And so it's like, I'm doing this. What's that? I want to do that. Or I want to mm-hmm. be interested in that, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a diversity of opportunity and ability and capacity that's there, which makes it hard to find that thing that you should be doing that will bring you power. And I find that happens with a lot of people. When someone's good at one thing, so where's the diversity of choice? There isn't really. There isn't really that huge array of things from which you can make a decision. There is just that, this is what I can do, here's me trying to do it, and I'll just carry on trying to do it. When people have a diversity of opportunity, that's when the challenges start to come in. So for Ilana, what I'm going to suggest is that one of the first things we do is that you sit down and try and find what empowers you to feel really excited about what you're doing. It doesn't matter what the future holds. That remains to be seen. But historically, where is it in your life, even at 10, 15, 20, 25, it doesn't matter, go up in five-year periods, look through the times where you felt really excited about what you're doing. Then you look at the elements of what that was. And so perhaps, let's say, you felt excited when you were in your third job and that was between the ages of 30 and 40, let's say, right? And that was recent. And then what did you do in that job? What were the responsibilities? What were the needs? What was the drive? And what would you ultimately like to do? And then you look at ways in which you can fill the gaps. But there's no oracleizing one line, you know, newspaper back end answer to what should I be doing? I feel a lot. What we have to do the work. And I'm actually thinking that the next book should be called that. Are you willing to do the work? Because lots of people tell me they want to live with a healthier self-esteem. They want to make better choices. They want to handle risk better. They want to handle relationships better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It all takes work. Has anyone figured out? To apologize takes work. To take responsibility for who you are and how you be in the world takes work. It takes effort. And sometimes you feel liberated by that effort, and sometimes you feel outright exhausted by that effort. And you'll come to the end of it and you go, oh, I don't know if relationships are worth it. This is so much work. But everything takes work, so she has to do the work.
There are very few people who are so clear on what they want to be doing with their lives, because life changes and we change, we evolve.
Absolutely.
And sometimes something that worked for you a while ago may not. It's a journey. I really do believe that what you do is a part of your journey.
Correct.
So it is doing that. It's actually
Absolutely.
Sitting down and saying, what fills me
Correct.
With joy, what and
Thank
passion
you.
And desire. And but it is stopping and asking those questions.
It's, we it's, have to it's, do the
as
work.
Saying,
you have
it's
to
digging,
sit down
it's digging.
And get to know yourself. That's what you have to do. And Ilana, seeing as though you called in, I'll speak directly to you. Ilana, you have to sit down and get to know Ilana. And when you know her well enough, you'll be able to guide her and recommend things and come up with ideas and look at solutions for the gap feeling, I call it. It's the gap between feeling full and current feeling. That's the gap feeling. What do I need to fill this with? And many people fill that void with addiction or a victim mentality. Woe is me, my life is so hard, this is where I am. But are you willing to do the work? Yes, you had a hard time. Yes, you had a hard marriage. Yes, you had a hard childhood. But you are responsible for your actions. You know, in the Jewish world, we know that from the age of 12 or 13, a girl and boy, respectively, become responsible for their own action. And in fact, the blessing that a father says at his son's bar mitzvah is that he's freed of the responsibility of his child's behavior, which is very interesting because the commentators say that there's a reverse opinion on that. And the reverse, and obviously this is not from an authority, a Jewish authority, it's just my learning, that the reverse opinion on that is that his child is also freed of his behavior. So the child can no longer be punished for the sins of the father when they become their own person. And how liberating is that? I look at that and I think that's so fantastic. In Jewish law, you become your own responsible person, no matter how hard things are, no matter how hard things have been, to decide what the new story will be, the rest of your story, how it will be. And certainly in civil law at 18, you become punishable as an adult. And you're at 21, you're no longer a minor and you can sign on any kind of document you want. You are responsible. So how can you say, well, my childhood was hard. Okay, well, what's responsible for how you behave today? Your childhood or you? You are. Your bad mother or you? Your bad father or you? Your bad uncle or you? You are responsible. And what a liberating opportunity. That's not a punishment. That means, really, I had a hard childhood, but I can still be better than it. I can still be better than my family. I can still rise above where I came from. I can rise above my last worst boss who denigrated and demeaned me on a daily basis. I can begin again at any time. I can reinvent myself at any time, and I have permission to do that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But you have
that
to
is
be
a
willing
that is a liberating
to do
thought.
The work.
Yeah, wonderful.
And at 17, we cannot be told that at 17, what I decide I want to be for my future is my only decision that's relevant. At 17, when I've barely had my first real breakup or real makeup or real relationship, I haven't necessarily tried to have children or had children or even thought about having children in a significant way. I haven't made any significant, huge life decisions on the whole at 17, but I must make a decision for life, my vocation for life. And so, of course, people make a choice based on what their current capacity and ability is and what their parents encourage and etc. But at some point, they have to have permission to reinvent that and say, I got to know me in the last 15 years. I'm 35 now. And the truth is, I'm really excited about doing this and I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to go study and become that thing. I'm willing to take a knock in salary to pursue my passion, which will take 5 to 10 years to get right. But longevity is 100 to 110 today. You've got time. Who's retiring at 65? Can you count them? You really can, because you can put it on one hand. There's barely anyone retiring at 65 or even 75. I have clients that are over that and they're still working and they're looking for new opportunity.
To keep them motivated.
Well, you know, the more we have medical technology, the longer we'll live, the more we have to provide for that space and time. You can't retire at 65, live your last 10 years on the endowment policy you put together 30 years ago and it's fine. It doesn't work anymore. So there are so many opportunities to reinvent. You can't tell me at 17 you knew what you should be for life. I'm an optometrist professionally. I love my profession. I have a business in optometry. It's wonderful. That's all good. But I reinvented my wheel. And I'm so liberated and so excited about where that's going to go. That wheel hasn't, in my perspective, even started rolling properly yet. And I have permission. And I do it independent of the scrutiny, insecurity, opinions, limitations of anybody else. And it took a long time to get there. I wasn't born thinking like this. It's only happened in the last, I'd say, 10 years. I certainly did not feel this way 10 years ago. So what? Do I have to apologize to anybody? Because I feel I'm striving to be more in service of humanity and myself and more in my power every day, that I'm willing to reinvent myself. I'm willing to apologize both to myself for the choices I make that do not serve me and to others where it inhibits positive relationships. Every day is a new opportunity.
Ilana, there's a lot, absolutely, lots to think about and I think to be excited about. I hope that had a tremendous amount of meaning for you, Ilana. Let's look at someone who sent through an SMS. It's a woman, the 30th of December, 1956. 30 December, 1956. If you've just tuned in, we have our self-esteem engineer, Bev Malun, in the studio. She is profiling your birth dates. She's going to give you great insight into areas that perhaps you should be working on in order to reach your full potential. SMS us on 34519 or you can call us directly on 0861 24 24 36. So a woman, the 30th of December 1956.
So this is fantastic, right? Now I'm hoping right off the bat that this lady had a childhood in which she was affirmed and praised and encouraged both to try and to fail, to put herself out there, to not be afraid of taking the lead, etc., etc., because her power is in doing and making things happen and getting things done. And her limitation is in needing affirmation and fearing rejection and fearing not being respected and holding herself back from things not being perfect and lacking a capacity to complete because she gets distracted. So there's that huge paradox between the absolutely capable and able being and the being that needs to be patted on the back at each opportunity so that they will thrive, so that they will do. And we have that dichotomy right there. So if this lady was raised in a way in which her needs were supported, she would have become more courageous and she would have gone into her adulthood with far more desire and willingness to take the lead, to do things that are powerful, to make things happen, because she's very capable of that. Social planetary organization. And I'm sure if I was having a function and she was an events coordinator, that would be an awesome role for her. And she's driven by reward. She loves to be rewarded. It comes from the need for affirmation, etc. People like that are driven by reward. They want to have things be special at the end of the result, right? And one of those things is that it keeps it exciting and it keeps them focused. Now, couple that with another paradox she has, which is not taking direction so well from others and being determined to do things her way. And there's a lot of paradoxes in there. But this is a young woman. I mean, this is only a woman who's 56 today. She'll be 57 this year. And she's in a perfect, perfect position to reinvent herself, to follow what excites her, to create a following. And it's not hard for her to create a following. You know, in the close relationship she has, she's generous of spirit and affectionate and comforting and likes things to be perfect. Now, the danger of that could be trying to perfect other people and worrying less about how you're coming across in the world and more about everyone else's scrutiny because she'll see it so quickly. You should be like this. You should be like that. You should do that. And if you are doing that, stop it. Just that's the nicest way I can put it. Stop it immediately. We worry far less about fixing others and far more about improving ourselves, not fixing, but improving ourselves. And every opportunity we have is a better opportunity for other people to rise up and work and walk alongside us. We're driven more by example and inspiration than we are by criticism ever. And you can write that down. Mm-hmm. I think it's a truthism.
I'm going to SMS it, please. I mean, tweet
it. It's gone
it.
Now. I'd have to listen to it on my recorder here, but it'll go on the internet. I think I said we're driven far more by inspiration and example than we are by criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what I said, mm-hmm. and it's great. See, that's why I record everything, mm-hmm. so that I can take it off here and write it into the new book, because it goes so quickly. But I think that is a truism. And I think the danger that people have in life is where they try and inspire change and improvement in the people around them by criticizing, condemning, denigrating, putting them down. And ultimately what you're saying is, I'm on this pedestal, and from this unbelievable view, I can see you, lesser being, how far you have to go to improve yourself. And I have to caution people when they do that the higher the pedestal, the further the fall. And we're not on planet Earth to live on pedestals. The 2 century that we're in now, it is not about pedestals. And in fact, if you look around and pay attention to what I'm saying, you'll see that everyone who has pedestalized themselves is falling off them, both in the entertainment industry, in the political industry, in the business industry. The people putting themselves on pedestals in the 1900s year are falling off those pedestals now, because this century is not about pedestals.
Mm. Mm.
And considering none of us will really outlive this century, best we figure that out.
Mm. Okay, so there we have it for that lady born on the 3rd, I beg your pardon, it was the 30th of December, 1956. We're going to take a break. We've got lots of SMSs, and we've also got Gabby on the line. Gabby, please stay with us. A quick break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to 101.9
FM. Welcome back. We have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. We're taking your calls. We're taking your SMSs. We do have Gabby on the line. Good morning, Gabby.
Morning.
Please go ahead.
My boss, Jerry, wants to know his profile. He's born on the 1st of September, 1954.
So he got you to call, Gabby.
Well,
what a clever man.
Yeah, no, he's gone out. He's listening in the car.
Is he listening? I thought you were going to have to take notes and report back. Okay, so it's for Jerry.
Gabby.
Thanks, Gabby.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So that's clever. He's not having to SMS
so typical,
his birthday.
Look at his numbers instantly, and I can see that. He's a delegator. You do this.
Okay, right. So this is for Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry. Jerry, the very sweet, likable delegator.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's what he does. He tells people what to do. He's a super boss. He's very clever at seeing what needs to be done and taking the lead and et cetera. And his life would be worthless without a PA. So I think Gabby is probably his right-hand being and serves him in huge ways, because he gets distracted and his mind is so busy with so many things that you can't possibly expect him also to manage the process. Like, that would be ridiculous. And so, look, as soon as I heard the birthday, I was like, yeah, I get it.
That's
I get
amazing.
It, Jerry. You just like other people to do the little stuff so you can be busy with the big stuff. And that
good
is where
you.
He is.
Good
That's
for
so
you,
clever.
Though. Absolutely.
So we can take a look for a moment at what it is to delegate. And obviously, because his mind is so sharp and he's so quick to come up with ideas and analyze things, we have to ask the question with this wonderful nurturing spirit that he has. And he has a wonderful, caring, nurturing, giving, generous spirit. Are we also doing one thing, nurturing self? Are we making sure that Jerry's taken care of? Jerry, I'm asking
mm-hmm.
you.
Okay.
And the other question would be, are you making certain to keep your criticisms of others to a mental moment and not an outspoken moment? That would be a big question there, because
okay.
he's a strongly opinionated gentleman and he has a lot of ideas about how things should be, and he would be a great educator. If he's sharing information or teaching, I imagine people would enjoy listening to him, because
mm-hmm.
he has a way about the ideas he has and how he wants to get them across. He doesn't just want to keep them. And so that's great when it comes to education and shared ideas, but it's not fantastic when it comes to assessment and criticism. One has to be careful to maintain sensitivity towards other people's needs
okay.
when you're sharing that. Remember, every great strength has a great paradox and opportunity to work. And you have to be willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are, then, you know, he doesn't really have to work on being nurturing and giving and et cetera. That's his natural bent. In fact, he'd probably have to manage how naive he can be sometimes socially and giving too much and giving inappropriately. And he'd need to manage that so that he doesn't knock himself out in the process. He has to be self-preserving, and again, it comes back to that. Are we so busy giving and being generous and running and getting things done that we're not preserving Jerry? Again, that's the question. Now, the other thing that's interesting for me, and I'm interested as to why Jerry would even want to hear my opinion, is that he doesn't really like to entertain the opinions of others, and he doesn't like to take directions from others. So it would be interesting that Jerry, who's a little bit, you know, beyond me in years, would be interested in what I have to say.
That is interesting.
The lessons of a 40-year-old. But you know, maybe, this is all I have to offer.
But what do you say? I mean, you're able to look at someone's numbers and you say, this is how they are and this is how they can reach their potential. Maybe that's something that Jerry's worked on, that he is learning to listen to the opinion of others.
Well, that's fantastic.
Maybe that's where he is right now.
Certainly what would have taught Jerry that is challenges. Challenges would have taught him that.
Okay.
And that's the exact same thing I'd say for the pedestalized people. Careful how far you put yourself off the ground, because it is not a century in which we can live off the ground. This is a century that will humble you. It will bring you to your knees, or it will bring you down to where everyone else is. You know, I love that line from The Lion King, where Mufasa comes into the cave where his brother, Scar, is. And Scar says to him, oh, Mufasa, come down from on high to mingle with the commoners, have you? And I love it, because I remember hearing that line thinking, how often do people really do that? They really feel like they're coming down from on high to mingle with the commoners, forgetting we all get stomach cramps. We all have to defecate and urinate. There is a humanity about all of us. We will all die. We will all at some time succumb to illness. What separates you? Achievements do not separate you in humanity. They give you more opportunity to help humanity. There's a verse in Psalms in, I don't know, I'm having a religious moment.
You are, I'm Nikki, loving it.
But I'm so sorry. But there's a verse in Psalm 145, I think it's number the 18th verse.
I'm just overwhelmed that you even remember all of this. But
well, I'm a numbers
on,
girl, you know.
Clearly,
Psalm 145, verse 18. I can do numbers. It's the content that bothers me now. And it says, you open up your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And one of the interpretations of that, which is so interesting for me, is that there's enough on planet Earth for everyone. And it is the reason why many people have and many people do not have is not to separate them. It's to bind them in the opportunity to give to those who don't have, because that's why they've been given it. Not to keep, not to sit on, not to hide under the proverbial mattress, and not to die with.
Flow.
It is to make certain that the needs of others and yours, so your needs might be a 2.5 million rand home, and that's not that big today, and, you know, private schooling and etc. But after that, they're on the needs of others that you can contribute to. And your need might be just to get food on the table every month, and to make certain your child in this government school facility that we have that is doing its best and it is improving many different avenues is getting what they need. And I promise you, after that, you can still do some. I again will quote the lady I met through Chai FM who contacted me, Rafilwe, who may or may not be listening. Hi, Rafilwe, who lives in Soweto, who makes it every month, and takes care of her daughter. And they make it every month. But she started a group of people who go around and wash the homes of the elderly in Soweto so they can live with dignity, because they can no longer take care of their own homes. You can give. So there's no measure where it says you don't have what to give. If you have energy and that's it, give energy. If you have time and that's it, give time. Where you have resource, there's enough in the earth for everyone to have. And the only reason they don't is because not enough of us are opening up our hands and giving to others. Just a point I'm putting out there. I'm not aiming it at you, Jerry. It is a point for humanity to consider. This is not a century in which pedestalizing yourself or placing yourself above others, independent of how fantastically you're doing, is a good idea. Because the pedestals will all come down this century. They're coming down. We're not even into the second decade much yet. When how many people on pedestals have come off them and continue to? Continue to. And they will continue to. So just putting that out there for humanity this wonderful morning, whoever's listening.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Bev, this one is quite an interesting one. It says, hi, Bev, we are getting married soon. We would like to know how compatible our dates are.
Are you joking?
Well,
no.
I have to say that I think you're incredibly brave. I mean, if Bev tells you that you're not compatible, what are you going to do?
Okay,
so I think we
Bev
should
is
change
not
it.
Going to do that.
She's not. Okay,
Bev
so
is
I
going
think we
to look
change
at
it.
What to be mindful of to make the most
there
of your relationship.
It's not about your compatibility.
If
it's
you are getting
areas.
Engaged and marrying, you've decided you're compatible. You do not need my endorsement.
Bev, okay, so she is the 18th of the 12th. 1989, and her wonderful fiancé is the 9th of the 9th.
Well, we don't know that yet, do we?
Well,
I'm just kidding. Okay, the 9th of the 9th,
1988. As I said, whoever sent this through is incredibly, incredibly brave. I did smile to myself when I looked at the SMS. So she is the 18th of the 12th, 1989, and he is the 9th of the 9th, 1988.
This is nice because so he's a year younger. For a long time.
Yeah, and he's a year
What's
younger.
3 and 8? 11, hey?
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, 11. Look, okay. My little fingers are working.
Yeah, my little brain is counting sheep. My son said to me once, he can't be counting sheep trying to sleep. It doesn't work because at first, you know, that's the millennium children. At first, they're just jumping over the fence and jumping over the fence. And it's lovely. He says, then the one kicks the fence and it falls down. The others go running away. And he's chasing
now
sheep
he's got to gather
all
them.
Over the place. And that's the creativity of these millennium children. I just love it. Don't put them in any box because they will break it.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love
can't it. Count sheep because they get out of hand. Okay, so let's look at this. Right. I'm not looking at them individually at all. Okay. I'm going to look at the nature of the relationship and we're going to look at where can you make certain the two of you do the work to be in the 33% who stay together. I was chatting with this with people recently. 67% of first marriages end in divorce, they say. 87% of second marriages end in divorce. Very interesting. Goes up because we make the same mistakes, but we recognize them sooner is what I think. Oh. And in that 33% that stay together, they say about 70% are maybe unhappy. And so we have 30% of 33%, which is about 10 people, are staying together and happy. Now, we want you to be in that position. So let's look
please,
at that. Right.
Please.
So let's look at that right now. So the combination energy of this relationship is karmic. So they probably recognize each other very quick. Very quick, got together, got chatty, got to know each other, enjoyed each other's company. There's a lovely playfulness about them. And there's an ability to share information and share direction. And there's a critical nature there because they're both very critical people. They're very specific about how they want things, both of them, and they're very capable of making those things happen, both of them. And so I'm sure she's sitting there laughing now because that's exactly what it is. Now you bring those two forces together, what is the obvious thing that's going to happen? Compromise.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Compromise. Remember, if this is a Jewish couple, that we have a mezuzah on the door and it's at an angle. And the reason it's at an angle, because it's not upright, it's not on its back, it's at an angle because that's where you compromise. You go over the threshold of your home, that's where compromise begins. Anything you believe to be true before, best you learn how to find the compromise in it. Mm. And that's going to be a big thing for them, learning each other's needs, making certain that they're willing to compromise sometimes. It's not always going to be your way, love. It's going to have to be a shift and a spanner and some kind of work in some kind of areas if you want to get this beautiful karmic love relationship to thrive in this life and continue to thrive. Remember to compromise. Remember to be meeting each other's needs. Remember to be focused on that beautiful, sensitive, giving generosity of spirit that you have and keep the playfulness in the relationship. When kids come, often playfulness goes, and that's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. I can't encourage that enough. You're a young couple. You're about to get married. Make certain you make a rule in your relationship to keep the playfulness because that's how they thrive. They're very playful together, very cute. And I'm sure if people saw them, they'd be like, wow, they really are cute together. Mm. They are. And there's a lot more cuteness behind closed doors than there is going to be for the public. And that has to stay in the relationship. Whether financial stress comes or harm comes or challenge comes or children come and blessing and all of that that comes with it. And you need to keep the chill, fun, playful, enthusiastic, spontaneous nature of the relationship mm-hmm. there. So even if it becomes a rule that twice a month you go out to do something fun that you used to do when you were dating, keep it in the relationship. Everyone should do this, but specifically for a relationship that thrives on fun and the ability to move and they're a solid couple. Keep that up. That's what I would recommend. Keep
fantastic,
that
fantastic. So listen, wishing you all the best for your upcoming marriage and I think fantastic advice from Bev. Bev Malone, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Those people who sent through SMSs, we're so sorry we didn't get to all of them. Bev will be with us same time next week between 9:30 and 10 o'clock.